This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Tuesday here on the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you on board this hour brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas for businesses across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. You know, it's unprecedented, the things that are happening in politics, in the nation's capital, and with everything going on. The acting Attorney General, Sally Yates, fired last night by President Trump, quickly replaced because she said she would not enforce his temporary ban on refugees and immigrants coming from the seven nations with ties to terrorism. Yeah, she made a serious mistake, according to Alan Dershowitz. Dershowitz, of course, the hard-left Harvard law professor. Alan Dershowitz said she made a serious mistake. Yates, an appointee of Barack Obama, was engaging in what Dershowitz called holdover heroism. He said that on CNN. Probably they are shocked. It's so easy to be a hero when you're not appointed by this president and when you're on the other side, said Dershowitz. She made a serious mistake. And he said what Donald Trump has ordered is perfectly legal. Perfectly legal. He cited the difference between green card holders, those who are in the country already and who need to be deported, and those who are applying for visas. There's also a distinction between what's constitutional, what's statutorily prohibited. And he said this is a bad policy, but it's a legal policy. And he said that Yates made a political decision rather than a legal one. We have a hobby in this country, said Dershowitz, and I want you to pay attention, very close attention, to his next comment. We have a hobby in this country. If you don't like something, you assume, you believe, it's unconstitutional. Noting even Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, also a Harvard law professor, has made the same mistake. So there's Alan Dershowitz. Meanwhile, President Obama breaking protocol, breaking precedent by speaking out against Donald Trump just 10 days after he left the White House and Donald Trump became the president of the United States. It's always been a longstanding unwritten rule, if nothing else, that you do not criticize your successor. The predecessor kind of goes into the horizon, into the sunset. Barack Obama has plenty of golf to play, but he came out swinging, attacking Donald Trump on this. Obama, who has remained silent for a whole 10 days, pledged before leaving office to only speak about policy moves where I think our core values may be at stake. Newsflash, Mr. Former President, you signed this into law in December of 2015. This is your law. This is your list of countries. Let's stop the nonsense, okay? Starbucks jumping into the fray, and you can vote with your money or not with your money at Starbucks. Howard Schultz, the CEO at Starbucks, says he will be hiring 10,000 refugees over the next couple of years. I guess he's not concerned about the 500,000 American veterans that are without jobs today, this morning. I guess he's not as concerned about the 50,000 American veterans that are homeless today. Seems to me Howard Schultz is more concerned about the possibility of refugees coming here, refugees that may not even be here yet. He's more concerned about those folks than the 42 million kids without enough food today in America. I think that Howard Schultz ought to get his priorities straight. Donald Trump promised to put America first, to look out for America's citizens first, not to exclude the world, as we are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. And if Starbucks is going to choose refugees and people that are not from here while our own citizens are suffering, then I, my friends, will choose something besides Starbucks forever. Trust me, forever. Meanwhile, as the chaos and nonsense continues, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, in defense of his sanctuary city status for New York City, says that, you know, driving drunk, not a serious offense. And you're like, whoa. You know, that's what he said. If you're here illegally and you get caught drunk driving, that's not serious enough for you to be escorted out of the country. Not really a serious offense. In fact, I've got it on tape for you. So shocked I was. I believe it's clip 16. Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York downplaying the seriousness of drinking and driving. Go.
Jake, there are 170 offenses in that law that are listed as serious and violent crimes that lead to automatic cooperation between the city of New York and our federal partners. So any serious and violent crime, we're going to work with them. Someone commits a minor offense. For example, right now, if you didn't have clear definitions like we have, let's say someone had a small amount of marijuana, let's say someone went through a stop sign, they could be deported for that, and their family could be torn apart, and you could have children left behind where the breadwinner in the family is sent back to a home country. That is not good for anyone. So we differentiate. Anyone who's a violent, anyone who's a serious threat to society, we agree, we'll work with the federal partners, and they get deported. But we are not going to see, with 500,000 undocumented people here, this would be true for 11 to 12 million undocumented folks in this country, the vast majority of whom are law-abiding, we're not going to see families torn apart over a very minor offense.
But is grand larceny or drunk driving a very minor offense?
Drunk driving that does not lead to any other negative outcome, I could define as that.
Rich Mallow, by the way, from the New York State Executive Director of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, has a very different opinion of whether drunk driving is serious, whether something else bad happens while you're driving drunk. He'll be joining us here on the program in just a couple of minutes. The hotline number, we've got room for a couple of calls real quickly, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. We got Dan checking in from Marquette. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Every time I hear these people talking about breaking up families, I have to ask the question, who's breaking up the families? The kids are allowed to go back with them. We're not breaking up families.
I would happen to agree with you. The families can stay together. By the way, last night during the Lansing City Council meeting, Virg Bonaro, the mayor of the city of Lansing, capital city of Michigan, pushing the idea of Lansing being a sanctuary city. Dan, what do you think of that?
I think the minute they don't get a check that they're supposed to get from the federal government, all of these people will change their minds very quickly.
Dan, thank you for checking in. Let's go to Dana checking in from Grand Rapids. Dana, welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. You know what that goof just said? We're not going to break them up for, and I agree with the previous caller, we're not breaking the families up. They are. They chose to do this to their own families, come here illegally. But I want to comment on what that mayor said to Blasio. I can't stand that man. But he said, we're not going to break them up over a minor offense. They're mostly law-abiding.
Let me ask you this. I got to run,
coming,
Dana. I got to run, but here's the question. How many families have been broken up by drunk driving permanently?
Exactly.
Thank you for checking in. I got to run.
The Steve Gruber Show, American Values with Midwestern Common Sense.
Tuesday on the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you on board. If you need to find out more, go to stevegruber.com where you can get the podcast and so much more. Plus, you can catch us on Facebook, The Steve Gruber Show, and follow us on Twitter. Thank you for the support. On the hotline, before we get to our next guest, Rush, checking in from Mackinac City. Rush, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me. In regards to the guy, the comment about drunk driving, a friend of mine was killed in Southern California by a drunk driver actually running a stop sign, and he also commented that running a stop sign wasn't a serious crime. Well, if that gentleman had not have been drunk and ran that stop sign, a good friend of mine would still be alive today. So
let me ask you this, Russ. Did that break up a family?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
His mother, you know, misses him every day. His father misses him every day. And unfortunately, at the time, he had an unborn baby, so that child is now growing up without a father.
An orphan. And Bill de Blasio thinks that it's no big deal to drive drunk if you're an illegal alien in America, in New York City. Rush, thank you for checking in. That's the kind of story that we'll have here in a moment with Rich Mallow, the New York State Director of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, who'll join me shortly. But first, Byron Henry here, attorney, constitutional scholar. Byron, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you.
Hey, real quickly, tell me about this, the firing of Sally Yates, the acting attorney general who got the boot. You know, they're calling it the Monday Massacre. The Democrats are, of course. It doesn't compare to what happened in October of 1973 when Richard Nixon fired his own people. But hey, they say everything's unprecedented to the Democrats, apparently. You tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, first and foremost, the attorney general serves at the pleasure of the president. And there's a couple principles at stake here, one of which, of course, is should the attorney general follow, if she believes it to be an unlawful order, the acting attorney general, then, of course, if she honestly believes that the order is unlawful or unconstitutional, she doesn't have to follow it. But the right thing to do there is to resign. It's not to be insubordinate and to refuse to enforce the law. In fact, even in her letter, she doesn't call the order unlawful. If the order is not unlawful, the DOJ policy has usually been, if there is a reasonable basis to defend a law or an executive order, the Department of Justice's job is to defend a law or an order of the President of the United States, unless there's basically no reasonable argument to make for its illegality. And even then, if the President orders you to defend an order, then your choice is not to be insubordinate and refuse to follow orders, but to, in fact, resign and say in good conscience,
I'm going to guess,
Byron, that order.
I'm going to guess that you've heard of Alan Dershowitz, and he said, we all have, Alan Dershowitz said she made a political decision, not a legal decision, and it was a bad one. Would you agree with that sentiment?
I would agree with Mr. Dershowitz 100% on that statement. She did not believe that it was, quote, right or just. That has nothing to do with her job. The President of the United States is elected by the people to determine what is right and just. Not to determine what's lawful, but to determine what's right and just. If she doesn't believe that her boss is acting in a rightly or justly way, as Mr. Dershowitz said, I believe that that's a political decision and she needs to step down.
All right. Attorney and constitutional scholar Byron Henry with us on the program. Let me ask you this, because you hear this a lot over the last 48 hours or 72 hours. It is unconstitutional for the president to block people coming in from these other countries. There's no truth to that whatsoever that I can find, but you're the expert. What say you?
I'm not aware of any constitutional right or any place in the Constitution that gives any person that is not a citizen of this country to come to this country for any reason, whether it to be to vacation, to work, to go to school, or for any other reason. That power is given plenary to Congress, and Congress can grant that privilege at its whim or deny that privilege at its whim. And in most of these cases, they have delegated the authority to administer immigration to the president, except in very rare instances. So as long as President Trump is coloring within the lines with respect to the law, meaning what Congress has said, and I believe in this case, Congress has given him the right to suspend immigration from certain countries for periods of time in the best interest or for the safety of the United States, then there's nothing unconstitutional about that. The only thing I would say, Steve, is if someone is already here and has a visa and has a vested right to be here because they've already been vetted and they're on their way or they get here.
Different circumstance.
That is different, and they should have a judge. They should have a lawyer, and they should have a court decide whether or not they have any due process rights to stay, and that's what's happening. That's the way
I agree with you. I agree with you. We are a nation of immigrants. We are also a nation of laws. That's who we are as Americans. Now, I want to ask you this next question. Federal judges in at least four different places now have said that they're not going to enforce Donald Trump's executive order imposing restrictions on immigration. Do they have that latitude, these federal judges appointed, by the way, by Barack Obama? Do they have that latitude in your estimation?
Well, first, I believe that most of the federal judges that have entered orders have simply entered stay orders, which said until we have a chance to have a hearing on this, a full hearing with briefing from both sides, the only thing they've said is you can't send these people back. You have to let them stay until we can have a hearing, which I believe is the correct course, because what they're doing is preserving the status quo, because once you send someone back, they're gone. And if they did have a right to be here, then, of course, you can't fix that problem. So that's a very limited scope relief. I don't know federal judges entering orders that basically say Donald Trump's orders are unconstitutional or we're not going to enforce them. There hasn't even been any full hearings yet. So I believe this incremental step of holding these people here, and I'm not even sure very many are even being held anymore, until they can determine whether they can stay, is exactly what the court should do to make sure these people that are here don't have due process rights. With respect to those coming from other countries, no, the courts have no right or no role in saying that President Trump cannot keep people, wait 90 days and post pause on immigration from other countries as long as Donald Trump stays within the statute that Congress has passed.
Yeah, I have a copy of the Constitution right here. I see nothing referring to immigration or those of foreigners from other nations. And I think that what we've gotten into is a bad habit of when people don't like something, especially those on the left, don't like something, they just start screaming it's unconstitutional, even though generally that's just not the fact. Byron, I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and you have to be careful. I mean, if you're going to make arguments, I mean, I'm a structural conservative. I believe that courts and Congress should check the president and vice versa, and therefore I want to make sure that everyone stays within their within the checks and balances. But in this case, the Constitution doesn't speak to this directly.
And Byron Henry, I think we should also have you back after we learn who the president's choice is to fill Antonin Scalia's seat on the Supreme Court and what's going to happen. Byron Henry, always a pleasure. Byron Henry, attorney and constitutional scholar here on the program. 25 after, you're listening to The Steve Gerber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
All right, welcome back to it. As we've been talking about a little bit here today, We've talked about the fact that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio doesn't consider drunk driving to rise to the level that somebody should be deported if they're an illegal alien in New York City, a sanctuary city. He believes, you know, it's not a serious offense. I didn't say it. He said it. Listen to this. He's talking on CNN. Mayor Bill de Blasio talking about drunk driving. Go.
Jake, there are 170 offenses in that law that are listed as serious and violent crimes that lead to automatic cooperation between the city of New York and our federal partners. So any serious and violent crime, we're going to work with them. Someone commits a minor offense. For example, right now, if you didn't have clear definitions like we have, let's say someone had a small amount of marijuana, let's say someone went through a stop sign, they could be deported for that and their family could be torn apart. And you could have children left behind where the breadwinner in the family is sent back to a home country. That is not good for anyone. So we differentiate. Anyone who's a violent, anyone who's a serious threat to society, we agree. We'll work with the federal partners and they get deported. But we are not going to see with 500,000 undocumented people here. This would be true for 11 to 12 million undocumented folks in this country, the vast majority of whom are law abiding. We're not going to see families torn apart over a very minor offense.
But is grand larceny or drunk driving a very minor offense?
Drunk driving that does not lead to any other negative outcome, I could define as that.
A very minor offense, not a serious threat to the rest of us. So says Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City. My next guest has a very different opinion. As you just heard, a caller, Rush, called from Mackinac City, Michigan, said a close friend of his was killed by a drunk driver that was here illegally. So that broke up families permanently. My next guest, Rich Mallow, is the New York State Executive Director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Rich, thank you for joining me on the program.
Not my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
I know you're traveling today, so this is the kind of day that we should take a moment and talk about drunk driving. Is drunk driving a serious threat? Is drunk driving a very minor offense? Which is it?
It's actually horrifying to hear the mayor of New York City that has a project called Project Zero, where they're trying to eliminate all highway and traffic deaths, would call drunk driving a minor incident. I can tell you the victims of this horrific crime, and it's a crime, how do you minimize those people? If you get behind a wheel and you've been drinking, it's a crime. It is not a minor crime. 311 people last year died because of drunk drivers.
In the state of New York?
In the state of New York. In the country, over 10,000 people died last year because of drunk driving. In New York, over 6,000 people were injured. Nationally, that number is over 290,000 people.
Plus,
drunk driving is not a minor incident.
Right. Plus, you put in there the families affected, the long-term emotional scar, the wreckage of people's lives and what's left, because the mayor is there talking about, we're not going to tear families apart. I'm going to guess that 311 people that died in New York and the 10,000 that died in America last year tore families apart permanently. And the 300,000 people that were injured tore families apart permanently. I am completely offended by what the mayor said here, and I find it, frankly, shocking.
It is shocking. And I also want to say, drunk driving, Mothers Against Driving, this is nothing about and has nothing to do with the immigration. This is a crime that happens every single day, and this is not a minor offense, and we have to make sure that it's treated as a major offense, and we should make sure that we stop this, and we do everything in our power, not to minimize, but to maximize what this does to these families, whether a family loses somebody in a death or someone is horrifically injured. This costs this country billions of dollars a year, and it's because people are acting in a very bad way. You don't drink and get behind the wheel of a car. You don't take drugs and get behind the wheel of a car and drive.
Period.
It's a weapon.
Yeah, period. Let me ask you this. Rich Mallow here, the New York State Executive Director, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, not pleased at all with the comments from New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio saying that, you know, drunk driving is not a serious offense. What do you think should happen to someone if they're here illegally and they get caught drunk driving? They're over the legal limit. Or in many places, they have what they call super drunk now. I know in Michigan, that's 0.17. If somebody's here, they get caught drunk driving or super drunk, should they be expelled from the country?
Well, I'm not going to get into the immigration piece, but I could tell you in New York, it's not called super drunk. It's aggravated. It's called aggravated.
Yes.
And if you're drinking and driving and you get caught in New York or anywhere else in this country, you should be prosecuted to the legal limit of the law. Period. And it doesn't matter if you're a legal immigrant, an illegal immigrant, a citizen of this country. It doesn't matter what you are. You should be prosecuted. That's the bottom line. It's a crime that kills and maims people and rips families apart every single day.
Well, let me ask you this, Rich. I'll phrase the question a bit differently then. When you hear Mayor Bill de Blasio say this is not a serious threat, say that drunk driving is a very minor offense, if nothing else bad happens, is basically what he said there. I couldn't believe it. What is your message to New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio when you hear that?
This is directly to Mayor de Blasio. If you really believe in your Project Zero and you really want to do the right thing for the citizens of your city, put an end to drunk driving. It doesn't matter. It is not a minor crime. It is a major crime. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving would be more than happy to work with him and stop this crime and stop people from getting behind the wheel of a car when they've been drinking.
Maybe Bill de Blasio needs maybe he needs a little bit of education is what it sounds like, potentially. Because that's what you do every day.
A lot of education.
I mean, you're on your way to Albany today, right? Because you continue to work and you spread the word every day to do not drink and drive. That's your job every day, right, Rich?
Every single day.
All right.
Every single day.
If people want to, you know, look you up, find out more, do you have a website they could check out real quick?
Yeah, www.madmadd.org.
Rich Mallow, great conversation. Go ahead. Do you have one more thing?
I was just going to say, I'm in New York, but if you're in Michigan, you can go to that site anywhere in the country, and you can click on your state, and you'll get how MAD rates the state with regards to drunk driving, and you can get all of the information that you need.
All right. Give me that website one more time.
www.mad.org, M-A-D-D.org.
Rich Mallow, thank you for the conversation. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me.
There you have it. This is not a very minor offense, as Bill de Blasio puts it. It's a very serious offense. 41 after, you're listening to the Steve Gerber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Tuesday here in the program. The big news coming later today. The big news coming later today will be the pick for the Supreme Court vacancy left when Antonin Scalia died in February. That'll be the big news we turn to today. See if it changes the narrative from the nonsense surrounding the immigration, the disingenuous behavior of the left who, by the way, supported such measures not that long ago. Let's be honest, we're a nation of immigrants. We're also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to allow the kind of immigration abuse we've seen in recent years. We must not allow it to continue. So said Bill Clinton in January of 1995. What'd you say? All right, go ahead and play that.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
All right, Lee, and standing ovation. And let's talk about, let's be honest. In 2011, Barack Obama banned all immigrants from the nation of Iraq for 6 months. This is a 120-day pause while we get our affairs in order. In 1979, Jimmy Carter threw Iranian students out of the country altogether. If their papers were, he threw them out altogether. Made 50,000 of them, I believe the number was, report to the government to see if they were in order, if they could even stay. So the disingenuous behavior of the Democrats, or is it even the same Democratic Party anymore? You think if John Kennedy strode in today and looked around the room, he'd have any idea what was going on? Do you think that if he was at the Women's March in Washington on January 21st, would John Kennedy have any idea what he was looking at? The hotline number, 888-900-9966. Dave standing by in Williamson. Dave, good morning. Dave, are you there? All right, Dave, is he all right? You think he's okay? I don't know what's going on there. Dave seems to be whistling to himself. You'll have that. Maybe he's just having a happy day. Let's see here. Speaking of Donald Trump and other things we haven't got to see, there's so much to get to. Let's look at this. It's clip 10. I want to share with the listeners here, Alex. President Trump spoke to the press as he signed an executive order aimed at significantly cutting regulations for small business to open up the throttle on the economy. I'll go with clip 10.
So this is small business, and this is regulation, and this will be the largest ever cut by far in terms of regulation. These folks are small business owners, and they're great people. They've been representative of the community, the small business community. If you have a regulation you want, number one, we're not going to approve it because it's already been approved probably in 17 different forms. But if we do, the only way you have a chance is we have to knock out two regulations for every new regulation. So if there's a new regulation, they have to knock out two. But it goes far beyond that. We're cutting regulations massively for small business and for large business, but they're different, but for small business. And that's what this is about today. And this will be the biggest such act that our country has ever seen. There will be regulation, there will be control, but it will be a normalized control where you can open your business and expand your business very easily.
So while the left goes crazy, Donald Trump continues to move forward with the work of America and doing what he was elected to do. And as I was on the BBC yesterday, I told the folks on Newsnight that I believe if the election were held today, Donald Trump would end up with more votes than he did before. Boris Epstein, one of the members inside the Trump White House, joining me here real quickly on the phone. Boris, welcome to it.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've seen you a lot on television lately. But let's get to it real quick. We don't have a lot of time here. Despite the hysteria on the left, Donald Trump is moving forward with the agenda that he promised he would deliver in a timely fashion. And trust me, here in places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I think he would get more votes today than he did on November 8th. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%, Steve. And we talked about this during the campaign. This was a candidate who said that he was going to make America strong, secure, safe, and working. And that's exactly what he's done. He did it during the transition, most productive transition probably in the history of this country. And he's done it in the first 8-9 days of his administration. I could not be more proud to be a part of his team and working hard for America and America.
How do you address the hysteria, the meltdown, the panic attack from the left that you're dealing with pretty much every day?
It's a distraction, right? We're focused on moving forward, focused on bringing jobs back to America. Look at the Small Business Roundtable yesterday, the executive order on deregulating our country. There's so much overregulation, of course, on keeping this country secure. That's what the refugee executive order is meant to do. And big announcement tonight on the Supreme Court, putting 9 justices on the Supreme Court, and then moving ahead with a country that is fully organized and fully set on being strong and secure.
Boris Epstein on the phone with us from the Trump administration. Boris, let's just go ahead and get it right out of the way right now. Who's the nominee going to be? That would make a little news now. Won't bother anybody. I won't tell anybody. Who's the nominee for the Supreme Court going to be?
I'm not going to be sharing that, Steve, but I will tell you that whoever the nominee is, it'll be somebody who represents the strong values of the American people.
Yeah. I'm shocked that you're not going to share with me, Boris. I'm shocked by that.
Well, good question. I respect you for asking.
Well, you got to ask, for Lord. If you don't ask the question, you don't get the answer. Anyhow,
that's
a big deal. Obviously, the immigration is a big deal. And getting rid of regulations. But I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word, Boris.
I'm so excited for the American people. This administration is working hard every day to make sure Americans who go to work are safe, are secure, and they are able to go to work and they have jobs. And all we want is for the American people to see through the hysteria, see through the bias of the left-wing media, and look at everything that's getting done. All the presidential actions, over 15 presidential actions in just the first 10, 11 days. And be excited and be resolute as a country that we're moving forward.